Okay, the story. So one thing here to think of in the story, the Pio story, is that when he is then married to that lady and goes through his family man hell, or no, purgatory, brother. With, yes, a couple of guys there, real nice, and they were worth everything. But still, he then has that. And he would like to, they're calling it honorable. Hope, you could say there, that although there was not, I mean, which was a fact stated by her at least, so any real love between the two of them. Not anymore. And you know that whole thing, and then he says, but you know, falling in love is one thing, then real love develops through the years, much by learning, maturing in ourselves and our relationship, and you know, that's what love is about, isn't it? So they're having talks like that. But she is not really on that. She just says, no, I just don't love you. Well, that's it. That's all, you know. There's nothing to speak about. So that's kind of it. But then he, because she says, I can't take it anymore. I can't stand a year more. Which he could understand. If you're unhappy, even a normal day may seem like a little hell. So, fair enough. But he, now, this is what we're coming to here. This recording, he actually had known for like, well, basically a year or so after they got married, that she doesn't really seem to love me anymore, to be honest. And of course she said then that, but you don't love me, you don't show me love. And his answer is that, but you told me you don't love me. It's hard to show love to someone who, as you said, doesn't even like me more than any person on the street. You explicitly stated it that way. So anyway, but inside him, as they are sitting there talking, this is kind of picked from that, a conversation that could have happened in like 2010 or something like that. 11, 12, 13. And then, how about him? I mean, he was, as our story will show, I mean, trying to show it as objectively and fair to both as possible, but still, it's his story. She wants to, she can write her story as well, which we can put here. But for now, she's a little, her private life is a little bit hidden there. Because she withdrew from his life, of course. But he then, in those days, before she called it off, definitely, which he, well, kind of accepted, but thought maybe we don't have to be so definite, which of course had its probably, as he thought then, explanation that she had found or was looking for another one. So yep, let's just call it a day, call it quits, and that's it. And he was prepared for it. But then he got thrown out of his own home, and that's another thing. But before this happened, that's what we're going to talk about today. He had this, you know, you can't live a hopeless life. So his hopes for the future, you know, a future together with this woman who didn't like him, and who was now growing from a young, attractive female to a middle-aged lady in, you know, that age where middle-aged ladies can be not so easy to deal with. And saying plainly that she didn't love him, basically loathed him. And that's what he was going to look forward to for the, you know, to spend the rest of his life in that company. So he put his hope to, as flimsy as it even seemed to him, if he should be honest, back then, that, yeah, you know, one day we will learn from all of this, and we will actually find real love together. We will learn to appreciate each other for real, and then there's victory through this challenging, you know. I mean, he was living in his hero's journey landscape, being a writer now. So there he is with that, and we turn back to Leo at the current present time when these words are being spoken and written and drawn, and he has that, can it be a realization, or at least some little thing for the story? That what if the two of them came together to be mother and father for those two boys, and then they had, as I think they both kind of felt and feel still, and speak to the boys about also, then it was over. And that in itself was just a natural change of level of life, or whatever you should call it. So, oh, stupid guy is walking the wrong path here. Anyway, so, yeah, then we look at this from the perspective of God here, because our Pio is a devotee of God, spent his life, surrendered his life to the Sankirtan mission and so on, surrendered it to God, not to some guru guy or cult, whatever, or religious institution, but to God. God is in God. So, would you expect then that God so viciously deprives him of that old age between an aging elderly couple when the kids are moved out and they can just be on their own. There's a beauty in that, growing old. So, and of course God can plan things in advance. I mean, this is where our story can really take off into dimensions. That's why now, after the kids have moved out, who are now young men, another lady steps in. The girl who he was the first love of his life, as he said then, when he was 10. And she came into the classroom and hardly even noticed him for 3 years. And then they didn't meet until 10 years later in a Hare Krishna temple as Pia steps in there. And they recognize each other. And she says, I didn't even remember his name. And he says, well, first thing you said was that I remember you as being a little fat. So that kind of thing. Now, still looking from the viewpoint of God in our story here. Remember, this is our book here, our story. You know, here they are, and yes, his intuition was right, and he said that often through his life after that. And my first impression of people who I meet are often right. And this was my impression when I first met that girl. Thanks God, my girl, that she came here. I thought she wasn't anywhere in town to be found with him. She just moved to town. Yep, everything was just completely making sense and completely clear to him, and he thanked God. And then she hardly even noticed him and drifted off into a very different, and as it seemed to him and them, dark side of the world. And then they meet 10 years later, and she was married and had a child, and so on. And here now, when this is actual reality of our Pio, which is the author, of course, this is no fiction, it's factual reality. But then when the children are grown-up men, moving out, taking care of themselves, she shows up there in his path, and he shows up in her path, and hey, what are we going to do about this? And you know, some things are just too big to fathom. And it's not even a meaning that we shall see what's actually going on behind the screen. We are there in that drama that the big game developer has put there for us. And God, as the big game developer, has a sense of humor, is extremely artistic in how to, you know, when, you know, those living beings down there on earth who's returned to him and her, and then starts to involve them in their play gradually, gradually, until they find themselves where they should be, at home. Vrindavan or Mathura or Dwaraka or Vaikuntha, whatever we find there in Indian Sanskrit language. And this is what they learn there in the Krishna temple. So it's a nice story, isn't it? He says with a smile. And then what's going to happen? Well, I mean, there is a book telling a story. Muddy pre-spring walking paths in the Stockholm suburb that one has to figure out to get around. And I guess that's where we are, Shadowland, the sometimes grey and cold and dull the world around, where you basically just better be inside having it warm and cozy and maybe hanging out with your beloved ones. So, and then they lived happily forever together. And our story is complete. So this could be the end of it somewhere, as far as P.O. concerns.